is Upfront on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. Thank you so much for joining us today. Experts say that in today's fast-changing job market, technical skills and expertise alone are not enough to secure long-term career success. They say that other factors such as soft skills, career readiness, and industry connections play an equally crucial role in ensuring that young people, that's mostly young people, youth, that they can transition smoothly into meaningful employment. Kenyan social entrepreneur Edna Semiti, founder of Zindua Career, a career guidance and youth mentorship organization, tells me that many talented youth find themselves unemployed, not due to a lack of ability, but because they haven't been equipped with the right skills to navigate the professional world. She joins me in studio.
What inspired you to become a career coach specifically for young people in Kenya? What kind of need were you trying to fulfill?
When I started, I was just trying to be reactive to the pain I have seen parents go through of helping their kids move from high school level to a university level. At that time, many of us, and I was there as well because I have older kids, most of us were talking about how our kids and seem to be clueless about what's next. We have to make choices for them. We don't feel that they're
being
prepared.
From high school to college?
Yeah. And I had been working since 2005 in human resources. And I was like, as a HR, I've also been experiencing problems with young people. Because when they come for interviews, they're not prepared. They don't know how to answer. They're not ready. Yeah. Mm. And they miss opportunities, not because they're not good, but because they don't know how to present themselves.
The very basic things.
Exactly. Mm. And I felt some kind of awareness needs to be made to young people. So I started off by just doing holiday workshops, where we would talk about careers, personality tests, skills that employers want, and how they can learn those skills while they're at home at that point. And then I came across this college in UK that actually prepares people for career counseling, to be career counselors for school-going children. And I enrolled and I went through the course. And then I wrote my own program, which now I deliver.
And how do you deliver it?
In schools.
So you go to schools
and
teach students?
Once a week.
Yeah.
Every week, it depends on the semester. So some semester I take 15 weeks, some I take 10 weeks. It depends on the term.
So you're based in Kenya?
Based in
Nairobi, Kenya. What are some of the unique challenges that Kenyan youth face when it comes to career planning and job searching?
So the first thing is that confusion. The world has evolved so much. Some jobs are no longer relevant that they thought would be there. So now just that confusion, what can you be in the future? And then what I have seen is most of us in Africa, we have very low self-esteem. We don't have that personal confidence of who I am and how do I become the very best version and come out.
Yeah.
So some young people lose opportunities because of that.
Yeah.
So I solve that problem by...
So even though they have the skills, they don't have the confidence that they will be able to make it in the job market.
Yeah.
Or on the job itself.
Even just looking at a job and saying this is not for me, I'll not apply.
Mm.
Because one of the things I tell young people is every application costs you time and money. So just apply to the jobs that you know you have 85% chance of being called to an interview. So how would they make that decision? They need to know who they are and what they want to do.
Absolutely.
They need to be able to say, I want to work in this job.
So how do you advise them to build the confidence or the resilience, especially in a competitive job market?
Yeah. So for older ones, the ones in university, definitely teach them how to write CVs, write application letters, help them through the job search process. So I teach them specifically to have like a day. You know, job hunting is a job itself. So every day you wake up, you have 5 hours of job hunting. You have 5 hours in every day, Monday to Friday. Take a break Saturday, take a break Sunday, just like you'd be at work.
Right.
So that's the reality
so
I share with them.
So job searching should be a full-time job
itself. It's a full-time job.
Let me ask you then about the employers, because I know that many young people that I've spoken to around the continent say they leave the universities or their high schools and, you know, they struggle to find jobs because there's not enough jobs for them. But you're saying that many of these jobs exist. It's just that they are not confident enough to apply for these jobs, right?
Yeah.
What would you say are some of the key skills or qualities that you believe, I say, Kenyans, the Kenyan employers are looking for, especially in young candidates for those entry-level positions?
Yeah, so I'm going to share statistics by the Federation of Kenyan Employers that they shared a report in 2022, and they said, number one, communication, verbal and written. That's one thing I really emphasize on. Be very good at communication. Analytical skills, basically being able to think about a problem, analyzing it and finding solutions, which is problem solving, another skill. Cultural integration, just being able to work with people from different cultures, which collaborates with collaboration skills and teamwork. Those are the skills that were highlighted by the Federation of Kenyan Employers. And they were representing over 3,000 employers who responded to that questionnaire when they were asking them, which skills are you looking for? So you can imagine these skills are quite significant that people need to have.
Now, I've also another thing that I've heard from, this was from a colleague of mine, not actually, a college friend who moved back home, started a business, and tells me that they have, there's a lot of people with young people that are very skilled in the technical aspects of the job, but they lack the soft skills.
Yeah.
How do you teach them the soft skills?
So one of the things I encourage young people to do is to go out and volunteer in churches, in the small NGOs or big NGOs, especially the ones that are in the, like, the slum areas. Because as you know, soft skills, no one will teach you in class.
Yes.
You learn them.
You pick them
as
on the...
Yes. So, for example, let's talk about analytical skills, because that is one of the soft skills. Just thinking and asking good questions, yeah?
Because our education system doesn't really...
Teach us or encourage us
to think for ourselves
or
to be analytical.
Yes,
we're always cramming books and for exams.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you present a small problem to a young person, just them being able to say, okay, let's ask critical questions, good questions that can help us understand the problem. And maybe be able to start panning out the solution. That one you can't do unless somebody's... You can't teach somebody unless you give them the actual problem, the actual work.
They have to be immersed in the job itself. Yeah.
So I tell young people, don't sit down at home saying there are no jobs. Go to your church. Go to your church. Go to your mosque. Go to the slum areas. Tell them, I'm here. I'm ready to volunteer. Talk to your parents. Give me money to just be going every day, 2 weeks, for 2 weeks or 3 weeks in the holiday to help in this community. That way you build soft skills. And by the way, I have actually taken high school students to holiday internship, 2 weeks. I had some partner employers who allowed me to take high school students to
on
work.
On holiday?
For just 2 weeks. Some of them were placed in banks and had opened a WhatsApp group. And, you know, they would tell me things like even just managing the traffic jam, waking up in the morning and being able to be at the office at 8.
On time, yeah.
You don't wake up at 8. You wake up at 5:30.
Yes, absolutely.
So things like that.
That's very interesting. Now, we've seen that, you know, speaking of social media, of WhatsApp, you know, which falls in under the category of social media. Many young people these days have social media, whereas TikTok, Instagram, where they, you know, it's a way to represent themselves, express themselves.
Yeah.
How do you advise them on using social media and networking to enhance their career prospects?
Yeah, so one thing I say to them is you're a citizen of the digital world. So we are all digital citizens. If you have an account, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or even an email, you know, even WhatsApp and TikTok, all these accounts make you a digital citizen. And every citizen is required to move according to the rules of that area.
Of the space, yes.
So understand the rules of social media. One of the rules of social media is it does not forget. What you post today, how many times do you, even in like in my phone, yeah? I have this reminder by Google Photos.
Yes.
Something that I took a picture.
All the time.
I don't know, in 2013.
Yes.
It reminds me and I'm like, what? Yeah. You see, social media doesn't forget.
Absolutely. So don't put yourself out in ways that will compromise you in the future.
Because in the future, as a young person today, you're 13. You're 13, you're 14, you're 15. You're doing all these things free. No one is asking you. Maybe your parents will be upset, yeah? But then in the future, 10 years from now, if you're 15, you'll be 25. 20 years from now, you'll be 35. Mm-hmm. You'll be looking for a job. And you don't know a human resource professional.
The internet does not forget.
Yes. A human professional will look. We do that.
Is that what
HR.
You do as a human resource? Because I want our listeners, especially our young listeners, to know that. As a person that works in human resource, that's one of the things
we
that you do.
We do it. Background check.
Yeah.
The background check includes social media. Let me look at this person from a person perspective. What kind of values do they stand for? Mm. Do these values connect
align
or align with my organization?
Yeah.
Do I want them in my team? Now, if I look there and I see some time in the past somewhere, you stood up against some of the values we stand for,
then most likely you won't get the job.
I'll not call you. I'm not calling you.
We are chatting with Edna Samiti here in the studios at the Voice of America. She's the founder of Zindua Career, which is a career guidance and youth mentorship organization based in Nairobi. Let's take a quick break and hear from you, our listeners, on the issue of the rising cost of education in Africa and how that is affecting accessibility to education for millions of young people in mostly rural areas.
Education in Nigeria is somehow expensive, because for you to go to a good university now, they have to refer you to the private universities. By the time you get to the missionary school, man, you'll be surprised that it is not what they tell you after you meet inside. Ranging from the tuition fee, you discover there's a course that you do that will not cost you more than, let me say, 50,000-60,000. They'll be telling you 250,000, 300,000. And the one that they're paying 60,000, when you get there, man, it's a total mess. It's a total mess. What most people do now is that they just want to read on their own, because the academic system has been quagmired. It has been seriously quagmired. Because of the high inflation of things, you can't really get what you are looking for. And, you know, students are still turning out. Despite that, there is nothing to show for. I'm in the opinion that things are a little bit expensive. This issue of price hike has become more or less like a philosophy. It has become a gangrene that people try to equate price with quality. Things just keep rising. They'll be telling the economy and things like that. It's not everyone that can afford it. Honestly, the thing just keep rising. It's not rising, it skyrockets. Education is the base where people are removed from idiocy. If government can help people to subsidize education, a lot of people want to come to the university sector so that they too can contribute their quota after they leave the school. So we are soliciting that there should be a drastic subsidy so that everybody can have equal rights. Education should be the only right that somebody have, no matter how maybe you are rich or poor.
I think higher education in Nigeria is very, very expensive in the sense that it has become the struggle of the fittest to survive in universities. Look at it like this. Getting admission is expensive. The books are expensive. Staying on campus is expensive. In short, anything about higher education or universities or anything you call it is expensive in Nigeria. And these prices keep rising every day. For example, if you have off-campus, transportation alone is enough to get you broke. I know this rising cost affects everybody who is a student in Nigeria. It doesn't matter if your parents are well-to-do. As long as it's cool in Nigeria, somehow, you must face it. The fact is, higher education is expensive. Personally, some days I skip lectures just because I cannot sustain myself in school. And this keeping affects my studies. I think government has done much about subsidies, but they should do more and keep our youth in school.
Many thanks to all of you who sent in your opinions on our topic today. Let's continue our conversation with Edna Semiti, the founder of Zindua Career, which is a career guidance and youth mentorship organization. She says that that she was inspired to start the organization after seeing that young people in her community were struggling with job loss and lack of career guidance, and that she wanted to create an organization that provided these young people with the the necessary employability skills, also work experience, giving them access to things like internships, mentorship, industry connections that would help them thrive in these high-skill jobs.
Let's talk a little bit about setbacks, rejections in the job market. How do you approach these conversations with these young people about handling setbacks or rejections or other disappointments in their career journeys?
Yeah. So I'm laughing because I think that's a reality. We do need to be real with our kids and our young people that rejection is a part of life. And it starts with just at home. How many times have they asked for this and that from their parents?
And they don't get it.
And the parent says no. And how do they handle that no? When they start learning how to handle the no right at home, you say charity begins at home, right? Yeah. So when you start learning how to handle no at home with your parents, you can be able to handle no anywhere. But the one thing
your advice, before you go forward, is your advice to parents to say a little bit more no's to their kids to as a training?
Well, my advice to parents is this. You cannot save your child from bad things happening. You can't, because you don't know what the future is like. So you can only prepare them to have enough mentality and attitude to be able to stand out, even if there is tough times for them, right? Now, how do you do that? Do you say yes to everything?
Absolutely not.
Do you shield them from, you know,
the world,
hardship?
Yeah.
No. You have
you
to
expose
choose,
them in choose, a way that is...
Yeah, choose to expose them.
Yeah.
But then there's the subject of resilience that I usually tell young people on, or for rejection. And the fact that, by the word no itself, no is an abbreviation. You can make it an abbreviation of next opportunity.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, right? If somebody says no to you, you say next
opportunity.
Yeah,
yes,
and move
absolutely,
on.
Because there are endless opportunities.
Exactly. Mm. And you may be so stuck on the place where you are told no that you forget to move on to the place where you can actually find an open door.
Mm.
So just carry yourself. And the other thing I say, especially when it comes to job hunting, remember when you enter that scenario, you've applied. There are probably 500 people like you who've applied, maybe even who are more qualified. So, and only one of you is supposed to get the job.
Right,
so
right.
Be happy for the one who
absolutely.
Got it.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
And then go to the next.
Go to the next, yeah.
How has technology impacted career options for young people in Kenya? I know, you know, I've done so many stories about IT and these hubs around Kenya and how technology has transformed every aspect of life on the continent, but especially so in Kenya. So how do you help them prepare? Sorry, how do you help them prepare for these emerging fields?
Okay, so one thing they have to realize is technology is diminishing some jobs. It's also creating jobs. Yeah. Actually, if you look at statistics, they say there's more jobs being created than the ones that are being diminished. So there is positivity.
Good news.
Yeah,
yes.
It's good news. So we should look out to the future with hope. But then that also means people need to be upskilled. You need to upskill yourself because, for example, me, when I finished my high school, and which was a long time ago, in the 90s, sometime ago, the best thing for a lady was to go for typing. I know how to type.
Secretarial positions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Those days, ladies, we were ending up as secretaries or homemakers at home, right? But today, that's can you imagine as a father telling your daughter, just go take a secretarial course. Will you do that?
No.
Because today, she can be able to be anything she wants
to be.
Be a
CEO.
She can.
Yeah, times have changed, yes.
But she needs to skill herself. It's not like the job is just waiting for her there. She needs to
be
online.
To be ready
skill
for these
yourself,
emerging jobs.
Upskill yourself. Reskill yourself. In fact, the other day I was listening to the director of staff development in the Ministry of Labor in Kenya. And she was saying, today you need to multi-skill yourself to be multi-talented. Like, you can
diversify your skills.
Yes. You can work in the office.
Yes.
You can work with computers.
Yes. You can have a little thing on the as the, part of the gig economy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a doctor.
Yeah.
You can be an Uber driver.
Yes.
You know, you don't just sit like it was before. As a doctor, I don't do driver's work here because you drive.
I wanted to ask you about that also specifically with this rise of the gig economy. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing more young people pursuing freelance or entrepreneurial path? And how do you support them in these areas?
Yeah, I see a lot of young people doing freelance, working from home. I know of a specific young person in Kenya who is right in the village, in the middle of the village. The parents say they never see him, but he's helping them build the house.
Wow.
Because he's working online from the village. He's working for a company somewhere in Australia.
Wow.
Okay.
Outsourcing.
Yeah. So a lot of young people, thank God, their work. At least the young people in Kenya, I know their work.
Mm.
They are finding work online. They are doing remote works. They're skilling themselves to be digital savvy. And here I'm talking about the millennials mainly and the upcoming Gen Zs as well. They're really upskilling themselves. So I would encourage them to continue doing that. But then don't sit with, I just do their own remote work stuff. Because you could go out and get gigs outside,
absolutely,
like photography gigs, event management gigs, things like that.
DJing, driving.
And there are platforms that support freelancing, like, I'm not advertising any, but I know I help young people to create their profiles on Upwork and Fiverr and find work there. Because you could find yourself working for someone in America who needs you, the type of skills you have.
Mm.
And you're flexible enough to say, I will work American hours, even if you're in Kenya.
Mm.
Then, you develop your portfolio.
All right. So that's great advice. I was going to ask you about the government, because you did talk a little bit about the director of Kenya's Ministry
Staff
of
Development.
Works.
Yeah.
What are some of the ways that the government, or more so, I guess, the private sector, because you have a big private sector. I think Kenya has a bigger private sector than most of the countries around it.
Mm-hmm.
How can they better support youth employment and career development in the country?
Yeah, one thing I have advocated for is, and this is a policy issue, I believe if the Kenyan labor law could allow young people as young as 16 years to start work, and it is on basis of holiday work, not a substitute for education, just that from 16 years, they can go and work in restaurants, they can work,
they
basically.
They can be tutors.
Yes.
My 15-year-old is a tutor.
Assistant tutors,
I have
a
15-year-old as a math tutor.
I think, here in the US, they do that from the age of 16.
So
I
in
think,
Kenya, you don't have those.
No, somebody
Are those supposed to be part of like a law that is passed?
Yeah. Because according to the law, you can only be an adult of 18.
And that's when you can be employed.
Yes. Oh, gotcha. So it's only 2 years, just 2 years. And having been a parent who I have seen 17 years, I think 17-year-old children, 16-year-old children are mature enough to be able to enter the world of work. So if that policy can be changed, just, push it back a little, 2 years, 16 years, and make it compulsory, like even include it in the education system, that maybe during the long holiday, they are required to do a number of hours at work.
Yeah.
Incentivize the employers to hire 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds at a minimum.
And just prepare them.
Minimum wage.
For the
to be
the
able
path
to prepare.
Ahead.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so finally, I want to ask you the kind of advice that you would give to a young person that is feeling unsure or lost about their career path.
I like that you've used the word career path. It's a path. All paths are very confusing at the beginning. Make sure that you understand who you are first, and then look around content online even about careers that could interest you.
They could fit
your
profile.
They could interest you.
Yeah.
Learn more about the education path for that career. Even if today you're thinking in school, you're not doing very well in a certain subject and it might affect your career projections or plans, just learn to understand how long would it take you to get the kind of certification you need for that career. And then engage yourself with professionals like myself, who is a career coach, youth-focused career coach. so that we can guide you and support you, because many times you just need that person who is on the other side of the line to tell you this is possible, have you looked into this and all that.
That was Edna Semiti, founder of Zindua Career, a career guidance and youth mentorship organization based in Nairobi, Kenya. She joined us here in studio at the Voice of America. Now, Imam Shafiq is a Ugandan educationist and school administrator. He talks to me about the rising cost of education in the region and how that is affecting the quality of education on the continent, most also accessibility to education.
When you look at institutions, big institutions like the University of Dar es Salaam, like the University of Makerere, traditionally in this region it is the biggest almost, or Kenyatta University in Kenya, these other universities. With the advent of economic liberalization policies that were adopted from the World Bank by these governments of ours, these policies come from there in Washington and New York, you know that.
Right.
But specifically the... But anyway, the things were not well studied. Now, it led to an influx of very many people into these institutions of higher learning. Very many students beyond manageable capacities.
But that is a good thing, right? That means many more people are accessing education.
Yes, it's okay. But the influx came at a time when the cost had not risen so much. Now that they are already there, people have no choice but to struggle and finish their courses. Then fees are being hiked even in advance of those who would be the fresh students coming in. But the hiking of fees does not commensurate the standards, you know? Because this university is something is becoming like every man for himself and God for us all.
Right.
I just give them marks after all. Are they my children? Let me just give, let me marry them as long as I get my salary. These things are happening. Because at the end of the day, it is the CEOs who are eating a lion's share of these school fees.
You mean the owners of the schools?
They are very exploitative. If they look at how they can establish other institutions even beyond the borders, and they don't look at the workers well.
That's including the teachers.
Yes, this is the problem, because my knowledge of education as a profession, not so.
All right.
My knowledge of it is that it survives largely on the word motivation. Now, without motivation, education is not there. And motivation is not only for teachers. It is also for the learners in class.
The students.
But a teacher will not motivate a student to learn when a teacher himself is not motivated.
So
this is the scenario.
Has the increase in cost of education led to a dropout, high dropout in universities like the one you're working in?
Yes, it is true, because I see many applicants for what we call dead years. Dead years here in Africa. I don't know the phenomenon of the West.
No.
But in Africa here, people ask for dead years, meaning that I was pursuing this course, but this year I'm not able to pay fees, or I'm sick, or all these other reasons. So I will not do exams.
But
usually, a larger component of it goes to the tuition fees aspect. For those who cannot afford it, they go down and go to work, maybe to get money and come and do the same exams another year, you know, or they never come back at all. This is the scenario. It is a vicious cycle, you know. That is the problem, Jackson.
That was Imam Shafiq, a university administrator in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania.
And with that, we come to the end of our show today. Many thanks to all of you, our listeners, for tuning in, whether it's online or on our FM stations around the continent. Remember to connect with us on our social media platforms. We are at VOA Africa on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube. You can also watch my show, The Red Carpet Show, at voaafrica.com/redcarpet. We are also on YouTube, where you can watch videos of the show. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Let's connect again next time, right here on The Voice of America. Have a great week ahead, Africa.
Hi, I'm Larry London, the host of Border Crossings, heard at 1500 Universal every day. And on Tuesdays, we have our very special Spotlight Feature Artist of the Week, an interview with some of the biggest names in music, Mike Love, who is the founding member of the Beach Boys and wrote a lot of their biggest hits, will join us on Tuesday. So please do tune in to Border Crossings, 1500 Universal, right here on The Voice of America.